Nearly three decades after the disastrous Exxon Valdez oil spill in 1989, the litigation for the remaining cash the state and federal governments could pursue from Exxon is at an end. A clause in the 1991 settlement said up to $100 million could be requested from Exxon for future unknown damage. It was called the reopener. In 2006, then-Governor Frank Murkowski and the George W. Bush administrations went to court and demanded $92 million of that reopener from Exxon. The company refused to pay, and in October, the Walker and Obama administrations decided to drop the claim. Former marine biology professor Rick Steiner has been involved in the fight for compensation from Exxon since the spill. He says there's no other recourse now.
In a way, it's kind of a bitter pill at the end of this long string of bitter pills that we, the people in the injured environment, have suffered through over the last quarter of a century here.
Was the reopener language written in a way that made it sort of impossible to look at it in broad enough terms to say, well, there might not be lingering effects to this particular species, mm-hmm. but certainly to this species there are?
The government attorneys, and that's the State Attorney General's office and the U.S. Department of Justice, assert that the reopener language in the original settlement was so narrow that it was difficult to activate the claim later down the road. However, if that's the case, then that was a fraud initially in the settlement in 1991.
Have we, at least as a nation, learned some lessons that are being applied going forward when there are disasters?
I would hope that some of the lessons of the Exxon Valdez and how to manage a disaster like this were applied in the Deepwater Horizon. I was down there working on the Deepwater Horizon for several years and periodically, and some of those lessons were applicable. Certainly the reopener, the debacle of the Exxon reopener in Alaska foretold how to do it better in the BP Deepwater Horizon case. And so they did not allow BP any control over these future expenditures. So some of these lessons were applied. What we're not, however, is for years we pushed for a comprehensive scientific overview or an audit of the restoration process, the entire Exxon Valdez, how restoration funds were spent scientifically for research, for habitat, what the difference between Exxon research results were from the government research results, which were dramatically different. And the agencies opposed that. Many of the injured populations, habitats and populations have not fully recovered. Some are listed as not recovering at all here 26 years later, and those include herring, pigeon guillemots, marble murrelets, and the AT1 killer whale pod, which is, by the way, expected to actually go extinct due to losses from the oil spill.
Does it feel somewhat strange to be at the end of this long, decades-long fight?
Yeah, it does. You know, there are thousands of us who were involved in this in 1989, actually before even 1989, we saw there to be a risk of this sort of thing. And even a couple of years prior to the Exxon Valdez, we tried to set up an RCAC in Prince William Sound, which I still to this day believe if we had been successful, would have seen the holes in the system and we might not have ever had the Exxon Valdez. But there are still more work to be done, both on lingering oil and these larger habitat deals in Bering River, Kenai Fjords, the subsurface deals in Prince William Sound, and more ongoing monitoring and research that needs to be done. So that will go on at least indefinitely, and we hope the habitat deals will get done this year. So while it's over in one sense, it will never be over in another sense, simply from the fact that there will never be full recovery from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. So the other thing we've learned from this is how actually delicate these complex coastal, pristine coastal ecosystems can be to one day, one wrong decision by a tanker captain. And here we are 26 years later, still dealing with the fallout from that and possibly still residual oil in the beaches that could be there for centuries. So I guess that take-home message is, if we're going to do these large-scale, risky developments in precious coastal areas, we have to do it with exceptional care. We aren't there. We didn't do it in the Arctic drilling last summer, you know. So hopefully those lessons will be applied in the future. So we're at the end of part of it, but in an interesting way, it will never be fully over.
Rick Steiner is a marine scientist and longtime critic of the Exxon Valdez settlement terms. The state's attorney general's office did not respond to a request for comment.